Ladies and gentlemen, the church has left the building. This isn't the first time that the church has faced a time of darkness, and it will not be the last. But Scripture is filled with example after example of how the church has been the light in the dark time. And it's not something that we've worked up. It's not just giddy optimism that's going to get us through these next 30 days or the unforeseen future. It is the light of the world. I think the church is built for times of darkness, for times of persecution, for times of opposition, and the church is built for times of trouble. The spiritual gifts that each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ only come into action when there's problems. Now, it doesn't take spiritual filling for us to identify the problems. The problems identify themselves. The problems are evident to everyone, whether you're saved or unsaved. Spirit-filled people spring into action to solve the problems that are there. I think of this great illustration of how our spiritual gifts are used in the proper way. I know that some of us are missing going in and sitting down and going to restaurants. Maybe you've gotten down to your last Pop-Tart and your last Hot Pocket, and maybe all that's left in the pantry are those little rice pucks, those rice cakes that your wife keeps for the last time that you went through your diet. Maybe those are the last things that are in your pantry. Maybe some of you are chomping on those right now. But imagine yourself at a very nice Italian restaurant. You walk in, it's packed, it's filled, everyone is expecting their food, and the waiter pops open those double metal doors and has a plate filled with spaghetti, and it's coming toward your table. He makes a rush turn around one corner, and then he crosses another corner, but what he doesn't see is that somebody's foot is out, and he doesn't see that foot, and he goes flying, and the spaghetti goes everywhere. Well, he goes tumbling. He starts holding his knee, and what happens next is what spirit-filled people should do. Everybody using their gift to solve the problem that's just occurred. I think of somebody with the gift of helps goes right to the mop and the broom and the dustpan and starts sweeping up all the spaghetti and passing out napkins and dabbing the tomato sauce. I think of somebody with the gift of mercy going right to that waiter and mending their wounds and telling them that it's going to be all right and showing mercy on that waiter that's fallen. I think of somebody with the gift of administration. He goes right to the cones and starts mapping out a new way to divert around the mess that's just been made and starts directing traffic to have a new flow of traffic. I think of somebody with the gift of helps, just generally lending a hand. I think of somebody with the gift of giving, goes right to the register and starts paying for all the meals and all the loss of all that spaghetti. I think of somebody with the gift of teaching, has observed and provides the 3 points in a poem of what the lesson is that can be learned from such a calamity. I think of somebody with the gift of prophecy, says, here's what you did wrong and here's how you can fix it. And then somebody with the gift of exhortation like me is standing on the wall and saying, hey, good job, everybody. Keep up the good work. You can keep going on. And I don't know how dispensational you get, but maybe there's somebody that identifies and translates the foul word that waiter uttered when they tripped and has translated it and made it palatable and understandable for everybody else. And maybe there's somebody that laid hands on that waiter and he sprang to life and was healed. I don't know how dispensational you want to get. But the problems are not to be focused on. It is the solutions that spirit-filled people spring to action to do. And that's where we find ourselves today. If you would, take your Bibles wherever they are. You can look on your phone. You can look right there in your Bibles. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we see a church that is in its infancy, a church that has been taught doctrines. In fact, Paul is ministering to the church of Thessalonica, writing from Corinth. But it's interesting to see what Paul capitalizes in this very short amount of time. He was only with the Thessalonians 1 month. And in 1 month, he teaches them all of the doctrines of Scripture, but he capitalizes, emphasizes the doctrine of the imminent and soon return of Jesus Christ. In times of darkness, where should we look? Should we look at the circumstances? No, those are evident to everyone. We should look at the imminent return of Jesus Christ. We should be looking for the coming of the day of the Lord. It's been a comfort in the Old Testament, and it should be a comfort to us in the New Testament time frame as well. Our text for tonight is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to look through verse 1 all the way through verse 11. I'll read it out loud. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. See, Paul understood that if he were to emphasize one thing in a young church and in a church in tribulation and in a persecuted church like these young Christians were that were leaving idols and facing direct persecution, he ought to capitalize on the doctrines of Scripture, and he spends chapter 4 and chapter 5 emphasizing the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls us some key things. If you would, look right here in verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. Look back at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Paul is writing to a church that understands what time it is. They understand what they're going through. This is a persecuted church. They have fought many battles, and they're a young church that has jumped right in to their faith in Jesus Christ by experiencing opposition. In times of darkness, we can tend to look at what is persecuting us. We can tend to look at who's opposing us. We can tend to look at the diagnosis. We can tend to look at the problem, but Christ wants us to look for him. The times and seasons. This is where we need to be a good student of the things to come. You might think that Bible prophecy preaching is something that's a little passe. Well, we heard a lot about that in the 60s and the 70s, and I've just finished all of my Left Behind series about 10 years ago, and I don't need to study the things that are to come. Well, in times of darkness, we are forced to look at what the Lord's doing right now. What's happening here, and what should I expect to happen? Well, he's teaching about the things that are to come. He just speaks about the imminent return and what that looks like in chapter 4. And then he describes it as a thief in the night and as a woman expecting a child. Now, I have four beautiful children. And what I know about it is we were expecting for approximately 8 or 9 months. But when it got down to the end, we started wondering what day, not just what day, but what hour, what minute these birth pangs and all of the excitement of experiencing the birth of a child, when all of that would start. But we had to be ready. I remember as we were anticipating the birth of our first child, we were about to go to the hospital. We had our hospital bag right there at the door. Our shoes were right there. We were ready to go, But then we decided to stay home and had a baby right there at our house and had all four of our babies right there at the house. But we were ready. We were ready to go at a moment's notice. And that's what Paul is teaching these young believers. We need to be ready for the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And so the first part of the comfort that I hope to be and the comfort that this passage is we need to, number one, get light. Number one, get light. You see in these following verses that we are not children of darkness, we are children of the day. Look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. No, we're looking forward to this. Look at verse 5. Ye are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. And you see in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We are people of the daytime. I think that's not just a practical thing, that we ought to get done what we need to get done in the daytime. Don't stay up all night anxious and worried, but use the 12 hours that God gave us in the day. Yes, that's the practical aspect, but we are children of the light. Light is worth our study today. Light is the first creative act that God made in the days of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, he said, let there be light, and there was light. I think it's interesting that God created light before he created the sun. I think he added the ultraviolet waves, the x-rays, the microwaves, the radio waves, the visible light, all the colors that we experience. I think he put those in effect because he knew what we needed at our very basic essential level. He knew that we needed light. Our greatest need was light. And at the beginning of the New Testament, he begins with light. At the first chapter of John, we see that Jesus comes onto scene as light. Look with me in John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, we see Jesus is the light of the world. Look at verse 7. The same, this is talking about John the Baptist, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. This is Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here we see that the light of the world comes onto the scene. The embodiment of light is Jesus Christ. God, in his first creative act, brings about light, and the first thing that we see in Jesus as he is described, he's described as the Word, and he's described as the light of the world. And that light is given to us. Look now at Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, and look with me at verse 14, if you would. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are the reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. God introduces light into the world. He embodies that light in Jesus Christ, and we are like the moon. We are reflections of that light. So in this time of darkness, we are the light of the world. And the only way that we can get light is if we've received the light. If we are to be children of the light, that means we need to be born again. This isn't just a Hank Williams song. We are to receive the light. We are to come to the end of ourselves, identify ourselves the same way that Scripture does. We are sinners, and our sin is worse than we thought, and Jesus is better than we could possibly conceive him to be. And our sin is what separates us from God. And if we will come to the end of ourselves like that prodigal son, and we'll put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he'll forgive us of not just one sin, but all of our sins, and he will make us children of the light. He will bring us into his family, and we will be the bearers of that light. There's only one way to have that light, and it's not just being an optimist or being a positive poster during this time. The only way that you can truly have the light is if you are receiving Jesus Christ. Well, we need to get light in every sense of the word. We need to have that light inside of us, but we also need to lay aside every sin and the weight, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. This time of quarantine, of sequester, of cloister, of being away from other people during this time needs to be a time where we grow in the light. What does the light do? It illumines from on the inside. We're able to identify not just the things that we are doing right, but also the things that we're doing wrong. We see from the Word of God that we're to receive the reproof that we need from it and the instruction of how to get it right and the correction that we need. This should be a time when you're away from everyone else that you should often enter into your secret place. We are not only encouraged to do it, but we have the incentive to do it now that we have all of this time. This should be a time when you emerge and get the all clear and everybody emerges from their house and we see each other in traffic and in church once more. This ought to be a time where we are closer to God than we've ever been. Treat this time of sequester, treat it like the secret place. Emphasize your Bible reading. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Take time to let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to do their cleansing work. So get light. Leave the sin that so easily besets us and leave that behind and confess it to God. We can get light in every sense of the word. Maybe you're not eating out as much. Maybe your wife is cooking for you and you're losing some weight. Maybe this is time to make some sacrifices right now so that when you get the thumbs up, you can use this time of drawback and tension to be propulsed into the next thing that God wants you to do. Maybe there's some things that you can get rid of or sell or remove from your life that have just been clutter and distraction. I would encourage you, use this time not just to clean up your house, but to get light in your life. Make the main thing the main thing. Put a purposeful effort into your next step after we get the all clear. I think this is a very interesting thing that we see in Paul's job. He wasn't always ministering to churches. There were some times that he was in between churches. I've been in lots of contact with other evangelists and missionaries that are just staying right where they are and doing the best they can and being encouragement where they are, but there are no meetings that are being scheduled. I think this is a time when we can prioritize the next step after that, and we can make our clutter or the distractions that we've had in our life, we can get rid of those so that we can be ready for the next step. So number one, we need to get light, and that only comes from Jesus Christ in every sense of the word. Number two, in dark times, once we've received the light of the world, it's time to get loving. The next step is to show the love of Christ. Look with me who in verse number 8 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 8, please. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. This ought to be a time where we show the love of Christ. The love of Christ has appeared to us brightly. It's time to let the love of Christ appear to somebody else. In studying of the times and the seasons, we realize that our time is short and the Lord is coming soon, so we ought to capitalize on emphasizing the love that God has given us and that is transferred to somebody else. Use this time to make the call, to post that encouraging thing, to not just emphasize the problem, but to reach out by text, to make the call, to pick up the groceries, to reach out to those that are shut in, to reach out to those that are in pain right now. Our time is very short. It's time to get loving. Let's get real here. Some of the people watching right now, at the speed of light right now on this YouTube or Facebook video, you could lose your health very soon. You could lose your job. We've already seen some of the numbers of people that have lost their positions because right now business has slowed down. You could see finances not just take a downturn, you could see finances going away. And there even could be a point in your life during this time where your faith is shaken. You don't know what to believe during this time. Well, what I encourage you to do is, you are children of the light. Don't live in darkness. Don't look down, look up, look here in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober. That's not just putting away silliness. You can have fun, but that's understanding what the most important things are. Pettiness disappears when we have this understanding. And we put on the breastplate of faith. Some of you, your faith is shaken right now. You haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, and it's time to do that, but it's been a long time since you've met with us, since you've fellowshipped with other believers, and maybe it was your parents, maybe it was your name on a church roll, maybe it was the meeting together that gave you some sort of encouragement that you felt just okay. I would encourage you to put on the breastplate of faith. Trust the Lord during this time. There will be a time when this will come to pass, as we see often in Scripture. This has a beginning and it will have an end, but strengthen your faith during this time. And strengthen, put on the breastplate of love. This is the time to get loving. Our time is short and the Lord is coming soon, so say the words, I love you. In fact, let's try it together. In your room right there, look at the eyeballs of the people around you. And say the words, hey, I love you. If there's somebody else, turn to them and say, I love you. This is the time to get loving, and that loving must be spread today. Number three, we ought to get living. We ought to get living. I think this is the time for us to grow spiritually, but also we ought to live life to its fullest. We aren't on the sidelines. We aren't on the bench during this time. We ought to be living life to its fullest. Well, I don't know what to do. I feel like I should just lay in bed and not get up, and I'm not sure what my next step is. I know a lot of people who aren't thinking in times of, what am I going to do next year, or what am I going to do next month? We're thinking, what am I going to do today? What am I going to do right now? Well, this is the time. Use Paul's example to see what he did in times of persecution and in times of darkness. I'm going to have you turn back a couple of chapters to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And look at verse 6. Remember, he is teaching these young Christians about the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And what should we do during this time? Look at verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Your spirit-filled life ought to point you to the word of God. You're receiving the word of God with a lot of obstacle. I think of this evening when we're filming this and getting this to you, there are a lot of obstacles to make sure that this message and this meeting gets to you on your phone and on your device so that you can fellowship together in the Word of God. You're receiving the Word in much affliction. Here, the first phrase of this is what we need to do during this time. We need to get living. And ye became followers of us. That word followers is mimetai, which we get the word mimic from, or imitators. As much as I follow the Lord, as much as I read my Bible, as much as I pray, as much as I put away sin, as much as I follow the Lord and live by faith and give and pray, I should be duplicating my spiritual experience in somebody else. To the extent that I follow Christ, I need to have other people follow Christ during this time. So who has grown in their faith during this time of cloister? Who has grown in their faith in this time of sheltering at home because of you? Have you reached out? Now that we're on Zoom, now that we're on FaceTime, now that every time that we hope to interact with people, it's by way of screen, I wonder if you've dialed up your friends, if there's that one on your Sunday school list, if there's that one person that you need to disciple right now, use your time to the extent that you follow Christ to pass along your faith to somebody else right now. That's what Paul did in this time, and we need to live our life to the fullest in other people. We need to get light. Number two, we need to get loving. Number three, we need to get living. And number four, all of this is possible by where we're looking. So number four, get looking. Our gaze determines where we're going. And in the Olivet Discourse, there's three occasions in the New Testament, in the gospel account, there's three gospels that mention the Olivet Discourse, and this is where Jesus describes the signs and the times and the seasons of the return of Jesus Christ. Look with me. In Matthew, Matthew chapter 24. And look with me at, chapter 25, if you would. Look at verse number one. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut. Here they were sleeping. We see that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We don't live our life like those who are asleep. It's time to awake unto righteousness. It's time to be aware of what time it is. It's time to be aware that the Lord could return at any moment. Brides were anticipating the bridegroom. They should have been filled with the Holy Spirit, watching and praying. And that's our application today. What should we do during this time? It should drive us to our knees. We ought to beg God for the healing of our dear brothers and sisters. Here it is, Wednesday night, our prayer meeting time. Ask the Lord to intercede for the ones that we've just mentioned as a part of our prayer time. Ask the Lord to do something great in your life. Ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask the Lord to help you to be ready and spirit-filled during this time. You see this illustration all throughout the Olivet Discourse. You see, it's like a thief that comes in the night. It's like two men standing in a field. One disappears and one left standing. You see it, two people in a bed. One disappears and one is left laying there. You see it happen that quick. Our time is short. You're out of time. The time to delay to follow the Lord is gone. It's time to look to him. Look at another occasion of the Olivet Discourse. Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And here, Jesus is teaching about the times and the signs and the seasons that will describe the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 21, verse 28. This is after he's described the nations rising against nation, the earthquakes, the pestilence that will describe the upheaval of the world. Look at verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." All throughout church history, and ever since anyone has believed in Jesus Christ and tasted of his goodness and read in his word and experienced a closeness with him, they've all joined together in the exact same prayer. They've looked up to heaven and they've prayed the same prayer. How long? Maybe you've prayed that prayer. Maybe you've been in the quietness of your room and you looked at your plans for tomorrow. And it was the same as your plans for today. Stay at the house, check the refrigerator, check the pantry, check your Facebook, on and on and on. But I wonder, from now, April 1st, to April 30th, during this time that the president has said we have to stay at the shelter at home, I wonder, instead of checking the pantry, I wonder if you're looking up right now. I wonder if you're looking up and praying that prayer. How long? How long till there's justice? How long till there's judgment? How long till everything that's wrong is made right? How long till there's healing? How long till you return again and make all things new? You could pray that prayer, but the answer comes down from heaven. The Lord is coming soon. Where do we get our comfort today? Our comfort is that this life isn't all we have. And you could face the very real possibility of standing face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ sooner than you'd planned. And here, our comfort during days of darkness is that the Lord is coming soon. The time to dawdle, the time to delay is done. It's time to get light. It's time to get ready to move. It's time to get loving. It's time to get living. And it's time to look up. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Don't look down. Don't look at the darkness. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'll close in a word of prayer, and you pray with me. But let me ask you a couple of questions here. Have you received the light? Are you a child of the day? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I didn't ask about a profession. I didn't ask if your name happens to be on this church roll. I didn't ask if you've liked our Facebook page. I asked if you've trusted in Jesus Christ. Is he your Savior? If you've never received Christ, you don't have that light. And you are standing and facing the day of the Lord, condemned to God's wrath. But it doesn't have to be like that. The Savior now is inviting you to receive him. Pray something like this if you've never received the light of Jesus Christ. Pray something like this. Lord, I've come to realize that I'm a sinner, but you already know that. There's nothing I can do that saves myself. I'm not going to trust in any of my philosophies or anything that I've done before. I'm not going to trust in anything else, but I am going to right now put my eternal weight of faith, my trust in Jesus Christ alone to save me. Right now, I receive that light. And at that moment, you'll be saved. It's sudden. You can plan on living in light in dark times. The day of the Lord is a time of judgment for those who have not received Christ, but it should be a happy time for those who have received Christ. And then secondly, Christians, those of you who are spirit-filled, this is the time of your life. The church has left the building. That means you're right where God wants you to do. God wants you to be. Use this time to be filled with the Spirit, filled with his light, and share it at the speed of light by way of a text message, by way of an email, by way of a video or a post that points to our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's time to share our light with others as children of the day. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending that light. Lord, you know what we need. You know that we can't do what we hope to do or what you want us to do during this time of darkness without being filled with light. Lord, we need answers. We have big questions. Lord, not just what does next week look like, what does tomorrow look like? Lord, what are you going to do with my kids' school? Lord, what are you going to do with my job? What are you going to do tomorrow? Lord, you've answered these prayers for Christians all over. You've answered the how long prayer with this comforting thought that your son, Jesus Christ, is coming soon. And we're not confined to wrath. We're saved from the wrath to come. You're going to take your children home someday. This isn't as good as it's going to get. We realize that this is a temporary thing, and we long to see your face. Help us to live in the light of your face and share that light with others during this very dark time. We're thankful that the instruction that Paul gave to a persecuted church and a young and maturing church is what we need today. Lord, help us to tell others that the Lord is coming soon. In Christ's name, amen.